The title of my message here is It's Bigger Than Just Us. It's Bigger Than Just Us. For my message today, I'd like to talk about some of our reflections from our recent trip to Switzerland. Our trip to Switzerland was a very different experience from the first trip we took this summer. I gave a message on that first trip when we were last here. But it was such a different experience. The main difference, I would say, was that we were flying to this foreign country with no plan at all besides getting to the airport and getting to the right train stop. That was only our obligations. And so it was very different because our first trip this summer, I spent hours trying to plan and put together the right itinerary and make sure we're seeing all the things that we'd like to see. Whereas this one, we just get to the airport, get to the train stop. Because for this one, we were attending this UCG camp in the Swiss Alps. In essence, we were kind of going into this experience not knowing what to expect. You know, we played volleyball on Wednesdays, and we had to tell them, hey, we're going to miss our game this weekend. Explaining it to these people who had no idea, it sounded so sketchy. We were like, yeah, sorry, we're going to miss this game. We're flying to a camp in a foreign country. And we're going to participate in a camp full of people we don't know. And we'll be sharing this big house and hiking. And we don't know anything else, but we'll be gone for a week. And so to most people in the world, that kind of sounds crazy. But the thing is, even for us and for myself especially, I didn't know what to expect. I mean, we trusted that the one thing we had in common with the people we were going to meet was our faith, right? It was our faith, which was hopefully important enough to help us make connections. But even that seemed to be like a whole different world. I had no idea what brethren are like in these other countries. Would we be able to even communicate together, let alone connect? So when we got off at the stop, we had no cell phone service, so we're looking around hoping that we can see the person that's supposed to pick us up. We're so thankful for Facebook because we did a little bit like, hey, what does this guy look like? So we knew an essence of what he looked like, and turned out that there was two other guys on the same train. We had no idea that we're heading to the same place. So we picked us. We were with her brother Benjamin, who came with us, and we hopped on this bus. And the coordinator of the camp was the one who picked us up. His name was Eric. So we hop on this van and we start to go, and he tells us, I want to let you guys know the road is a little tight. And we're like, okay. Well, we had just been driving on these tight roads through mountains and in the West Coast, and like, oh, we got this. So we get in this car, and I'm like, man, yeah, these roads are tight. He's like, this is nothing. Yeah, we're like, okay. So we start going up, and you get to these roads, and they're so tight that you would think it's a one-way road. But in reality, they're two-way roads. And so you would get to these points, and you're getting up to the top, and you're like, oh wait, there's someone coming down. And you have to figure out a way to back up and get off to the side of the road. So we're in this place where we're with people we don't know. We're driving up this really sketchy road. But when we got to the top, we were met with smiles and this beautiful view of this mountain. And by the end of the next day, when everyone got there, there were 42 brethren all squeezed into one cabin and like three tents, coming from 7 or 8 different countries. Brethren ranging from 9 years old all the way up to people who were in their 60s and 70s and who had retired. And everything in between, families, young adults. And thankfully, most of them spoke English. But it was such a unique experience. Because I've been going to camp since I came into the church, which has been such a blessing. But never to something like this. Everyone was expected to help out each day, whether it was food prep, dishes, cooking. We did a Bible study every morning, and we were able to witness, it was such a cool thing to witness, we were able to witness a baptism in this gorgeous lake surrounded by all of these mountains. We got to do some awesome hikes and heard cows with cowbells, and they were haunting in some cases because you just always heard them. It was an experience. We put our feet in glacial-fed lakes, which was so cold that it hurt. Benjamin, her little brother's like, let's try it there for a minute. And I'm like, I was in pain, and everyone else seemed to be taking it better. I just told them I was a wimp. But on our hardest hike of the whole trip, we were at like 8,000 feet in the air. We were expecting to see this beautiful view, and at about like 7,000 feet, this massive cloud comes over, and we just get smacked with rain and hail, and everything is soaked, and the food is soaked, and we have all this stuff, and you can't even see anything, right? And so all of these things were so amazing. They were so amazing. But the true difference of this trip was spending the time with the brethren. As I had mentioned earlier, I had no idea what to expect. Going into this whole trip, one of our main goals was to try and get to know the brethren and understand what their experience is like as a Christian in another part of the world. I was curious going into it, but I left feeling encouraged in a way that I didn't expect. And that's what I'd like to share with you today. When we first got there, my game plan was, as my game plan is often, ask as many questions as possible. The easy thing to ask about was, what is it like to live in these different countries? So I talked to brethren from Germany, in which they said how owning land is just very difficult, very expensive to own land, and the prices of property are so high in their country. I talked with some of the brethren from Australia, and they were telling me how some of the politicians in their country are so corrupt and are working together to kind of do what's best for their own interests. One night, it was cool, a bunch of us, all around the same age, a bunch of the young adults from like four different countries just sat down for dinner and talked about how much COVID had impacted our lives with the various restrictions that our countries had placed during that time. Ultimately, I started to notice this trend. As I was having these conversations, that trend, though, started to come up in our Bible studies. And that trend was really emphasized in two of the main Bible studies that I want to talk about today. One was a study on how sometimes we can look at the world around us and think how scary the future might be. The facilitator was discussing things like the mark of the beast in Babylon and talking about how intimidating something like that can be and how it can be so unsettling to think about this future. And so as we went down and we're starting to go and have these conversations, the second Bible also continued on this trend. The facilitator gave us this awesome opportunity to get to know each other in this vulnerable setting. They set up these posters around the room. I think there was about seven of them. And what you were expected to do in a small group was to go up to each poster and work as a group and answer the prompt. You're supposed to go up and answer the prompt. And I'd like to do that here one day. It'd be a cool opportunity. The teacher in me was like, yes, this is an awesome activity. But the topic of the Bible study was anxiety. There were these questions like, what are seeds that lead to anxiety? And what causes them to grow? Or prompts like, list or draw things that make you think of God's blessings instead of anxiety. But there's one prompt that I'm so glad they did, and I want to do it with you guys. One prompt that I want you to think about, you don't have to write it down, you can just think about it. The prompt was this. What is an anxiety or worry that you personally would like to let go of? What is an anxiety or worry that you personally would like to let go of? Now I'm going to read some of their responses from the people at camp and see what you guys think. One of them was this. I'm worried about making the wrong big life decisions. I'm worried about my health. I'm worried that Christ might say he never knew me. I'm afraid to keep making the same mistakes. I'm worried about the war in the world getting worse. I'm worried about and asking myself the question, am I making God a big enough priority? And we put these sticky notes on the board, and you'd go up and you would write down your thoughts and you would put it up on the sticky note. And this was only a few. I took a sample. And I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands, but how many of you resonate with any of those concerns? Because I know I do. And so as we sat there, staring at this poster, doing this Bible study, I started thinking. And as I looked back and reflected on this whole experience, I realized that despite the fact that we live halfway across the world, or in some cases on the opposite side of the world from each other, in other countries that have differences for sure, and although we don't really always speak the same native tongue, we are all truly on the same walk. And that was such an eye-opening experience, because like I said in the beginning, we didn't know what we were getting ourselves into. All we knew is that we were going to spend time with our brethren in Switzerland. Now looking back, that's all we needed to know. That's the key takeaway that I wanted to bring you all today. We have been so blessed to be called into the church, and we are all part of one body, no matter what language we speak and what culture we belong to. We are struggling with similar stresses of the world, and we all have similar anxieties that in our walk with Christ. And so the lesson that I learned and the thing that I wanted to share with you all today is that we are not alone in our journey. We are not alone in our fight against the world. Ephesians 6:12, you don't have to turn there if you can, if you want. Ephesians 6:12 reminds us that we aren't fighting different fights in different parts of the world. Because the thing we're actually fighting against isn't limited to one country or community. Ephesians 6:12 says, we do not wrestle, it's a scripture we all have heard multiple times, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. So no matter where we're from, we are all Christians fighting the same fight. And sometimes we can feel like Elijah on top of the mountain, being frustrated with God for having us to fight on our own, or feel like we're fighting on our own, feeling like we're on this island just trying to survive. But the message I'm here today is that we are not. We come to church each week and are refreshed by seeing and being with our church family and sharing our struggles and our joys. And we know that. But God's church is so much bigger than us. Because we can go to the feast and realize even more that we're not alone. And now, after going to other countries for us and for all of us, we know that we have brethren all around the world trying to live God's way and figure out life just like us. And that tells us that we're a part of a fight that is a worldwide fight. It's not just local. And we are fighting together for the same goal. And that's the beauty of the church that God has provided us with. We are one body of believers spread out over all the world. We are a family, an army fighting, praying, and hoping for Jesus Christ to return and establish his kingdom. Because even though the battle can sometimes feel so overwhelming and feel so isolating, let us never forget that God's church is bigger than just us.